1 Samuel chapter number 30 in your Bible this morning, and we're going to read one verse, and I don't have time to deal with every verse in this passage, but have you ever looked at someone and said, I've had it up to here? I remember one time I went with Billy Kelly and Maze Jackson and some of the fatter preachers in my life, and we went to this little lady's house, and man, she put out the fried chicken. And I'm like Larry Brown. There ought to be a sin to do anything to a chicken other than fry it. And man, they brought out the cream potatoes, you know, the lumpy kind, soaked in butter, real green beans, and real biscuits. I've never been a biscuit lover. I just seem to have a brown serve roll. Don't you call me a Yankee, but I can't help it. I love them things. And you name it, it was on the table. And finally, that little mountain lady said, hey, fellas, it's time for dessert. And Billy Kelly said, lady, I can't take another bite. I'm up to here. She said, Brother Billy, it's real old-fashioned banana pudding. He said, bring it on. That's what I'm saving that right there for. Well, have you ever said to anybody, I've had it up to here? But I'm glad that God is able, in spite of what's overwhelmed us. And we've been getting a text for a theme this year, more in 24. And we're getting our theme from Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another, not less of, but so much the more, as we see the day approaching. And when we're looking at some things in the Bible that we need more of in this year, we looked at more anointing, more blessing, more compassion. Last week we looked at more dedication. I want to come today and use the letter E, and I want to deal with this, more encouragement. I believe if God's people have ever needed more encouragement, I believe it is this day and this hour in which we live. Because if you love America, you're discouraged. If you love old-time religion, if you got morals in your life, you're discouraged at what we see happening morally and even religiously in our country. But I'm glad today to tell you there is hope in the Lord. And we may not believe this, but if you'll study history, it's been darker than this. It's been more sinful than this. You say, Brother Joe, you got to be out of your mind. No, it was so bad in Noah's day that God gave up on them and destroyed everything and every living creature that wasn't on the inside of that boat. And I'm just telling you, there's still hope. And I want you to be encouraged today that you're still God's child. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And when you come to 1 Samuel 30, I really believe when you study this, Brother Noble, David's up to here, man. His family has been raped and ravished. Everything that he loved and everything that he held dear had been stripped from him, stolen by the enemy. And he looks around, and there is his home, his family, his fortune. Everything, listen to this, everything but his faith had been destroyed. And I hope none of us have to go through that. But you remember this. When family and friends and fortune and finance, whatever, is laying in the ashes of ruins, I'm glad our faith still holds. Now, sometimes it holds on by a thread. But thank God for the thread. And David is looking around. In fact, in verse 4 of this passage, even the Holy Spirit makes this statement that David and his family had wept. Listen to this. Till there was no more power to weep. Have you ever cried so much? There was not even any tears there. There was just a sob and an agony of soul. Grief, trouble, trial. They wept till there was no more power to weep. And it seems everything in their world has been taken from them. But I want you to come to our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. In the midst of the darkest hour of David's life up to this point, notice what the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. He was not just distressed, but the Bible said he was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his son and for his daughters. And I love this little conjunction the Holy Spirit inserts here. Say it with me. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I want you to say that little phrase with me. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Say that again. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Just to aggravate the devil, I think we ought to say that one more time. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love to study the words in the Bible, and the word encouraged, I love this, means to be infused with courage. Encourage means to be infused with courage. And there's times in all of our life where in our courage, our stamina, our faith weaks and it shakes. And we're wondering what is going on in our life. But to be encouraged is when we are infused with courage. And I'll admit to you this morning, I know what it's like to be discouraged. But I'm glad I know what it's like to be encouraged. Yes, I know what it's like to be in the valleys of life. But thank God, I'm glad I know what it's like to be on the mountaintops of life. Just like you, yeah, I've walked around in the valley clucking with a bunch of turkeys. But I'm glad for the times where God let me spread my wings and soar like an eagle. And I don't know today what your world looks like, but I hope you leave today infused with courage. And I got to thinking about places in our life where we can find encouragement. And I believe all of us would admit this morning that the scriptures, the word of God, 66 books, if it gets in you, it will infuse you with courage. I believe all of us would admit this morning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an encourager. I mean, who said in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you're going to have peace. I'm glad our Savior this morning can infuse us with courage. The scriptures, the Savior. I believe you'll have to agree to me today that this room you're sitting in the Bible, it's called a sanctuary. A holy place where God's people come and worship him. And I'm glad there's encouragement in the house of the Lord. I like just driving up in the parking lot and seeing the parking lot guides and attendants waving at me. I came in on this side this morning and I pulled into the parking lot and there stood a handsome young man waving at me. And I looked at him and I said, you know, there's one thing about Harvest Baptist Tabernacle. They'll never say that our parking lot attendants need a haircut. Say amen, Kyle. I love you, son. They may need a shave, but they don't need a haircut. Just a friendly face as you come to the house of the Lord. Then some pass somebody in the hallway. Love you, man of God. God bless you, brother. Love you, brother. Amen. And then the first song. Victory in Jesus. Man, that ought to infuse all of us with courage. And then the beautiful choir song, watch and see, Jesus is coming. And then, especially if you're old like me, Yes, you pass 40, you old dude. And to see a group of young people that the world would love to devour, their bodies, their minds, and their souls, get up and tell us old people, God ain't through with you yet. And I want to tell every one of them young'uns, after a while, if you felt like I felt when I got up this morning, you wonder whether God was finished with you yet. That infused me with courage. And then I just want to tell you, we let the young people sing, and then for the special, we let some older members sing. What a blessing that was. And if you didn't enjoy those two beautiful ladies and one beast, got it right today. Wasn't that encouraging? That infused me with courage to know that I've not just read of a man that can. I've not just heard of a man that can. But if I heard you right, you literally said, I know a man who can. In the scriptures, in the Savior, in the sanctuary, I believe you'll have to admit, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, man, He will infuse you with courage. But what I read in this text today just does a number on my soul. David is finding encouragement at this moment. Not in the Spirit, not in the scriptures, not in the Savior, not in the sanctuary. But according to verse 6, he is finding self-encouragement. Now don't read into this that, you know, as long as we got us, we don't need anybody else. That's narcissism. That's not spirituality. But he is teaching you and I this truth. That when you can't get to a Bible, and you can't get to a sanctuary, and you can't get to no more saints of God, if the Lord is your shepherd, and you know Him as your refuge and your fortress and your strength and your strong tower, when there's nothing else in your life, you can still be infused with courage, because there's something down on the inside bigger than what's hanging out on the outside. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Boy, I wish I had a month to preach on how we can encourage ourselves. I believe there were three things in David's life, according to 1 Samuel, that he never forgot. And when everything around him was falling apart, he could go back to this, and it infused him with courage. Number one, write down the ability of power. In other words, his mind went back to strength that he had found in the Lord in the past. His mind went back to the time when a bear came after him and his sheep, and God gave him the power to overcome it. His mind went back to when a lion came after him and his sheep, and God gave him the power to overcome it. And his mind went back to chapter 17. Down in the valley between two high mountains. And in front of him was the biggest giant that he had ever faced, except the own lust that grew in his heart. And there stands Goliath the giant. But you know the story, how it ends. David said, you got a sword and a spear and a shield, but I have come in the name of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. And you know how that story ends. The giant goes down in defeat, and God gives David victory one more time. And now in the midst of being greatly distressed, he looks back in his past and he sees the power and the strength of Almighty God. And I believe it's coming up in his soul. If God can whoop the lion, if God can whoop the bear, if God can whoop the giant, there's nothing too big for my God. I wonder how many of this morning you've been through enough storms and troubles and trials and faced enough battles in your life to lift both hands and testify, there's nothing too big for the Almighty God of heaven. You look back on that and you can encourage yourself in the Lord your God. an ability of power. Number two, the anthems of praise. He not only looked back at the strength that God had given him, but he looks back at the songs that God has given him. You say, why do y'all have such a singing church? Because we got a singing book and a singing Savior. God's give us something to sing about. In your Bible, there's a place called the Book of Psalms, and over 72 of them, out of the 150, over 72 of them come from the pen of David under the miracle of divine inspiration. We read these as literature, but the Hebrews in the Old Testament, this was their song book. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the law, the five books of Moses, that was their Bible. Oh, but the book of Psalms was their hymn book. And they would sing these songs. And David, man, seemingly there's nothing to sing about, but he remembers in the hour of distress the anthems of praise, the songs that God had given him. And I just want to tell you today, you can't stop and sing, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is my high tower. He will hide me in his pavilion. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my king. The Lord is my God. Peace like a river, power like the heavens. He's the God of all eternity, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he stops and rehearses these anthems of praise, these songs in his heart, it's not long to the infusion of courage. It's coming in the soul of a man that's discouraged. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you, he's still the King. He's still the Savior. He's still the Redeemer. He's still the refuge. He's still the Savior. Sing that. Look to that. Lean upon that. It will infuse you with courage in a dark day. I heard an old timer say this one time. I never thought about it. He said, if I wake up in the morning, and have you ever woken up one morning and thought, you know, let me just try getting out on the other side of the bed? Well, I want to tell you, the sorry low-down devil that met you on the left side, he'll be there on the right side. That's like somebody said, I got so many troubles, I'm going to get drunk. That's the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life. Because when you get over your drunken stupor, you'll have more problems than you had before. I'm glad we don't have to get drunk or get up on the other side of the bed. We lean on the Lord who is our shepherd. The anthems of praise. I heard this old timer say this. He said, if I get up in the mornings and I'm having a bad day, he said, sometimes I just get a song book. And I just start reading the words of songs that God had given other saints. And this man said, I don't know what your problem is, but if you'll read words like this, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a friend we have in Jesus. Where could I go but to the Lord? Great is thy faithfulness. It is well with my... You read enough of that and let enough of that resonate in your heart. It won't be long till you'll be infused with courage. He encouraged himself. Him, the Lord is God. That was the ability of power. That was the anthem of praise. And then thirdly this morning, that was the anointing of presence. You know, there is something greater in David's life than the songs God gave him. There's something in David's life stronger than the strength God gave him. You say, what in the world could that be? You remember when he was a 17-year-old lad, out on the backside of the desert, raising a handful of sheep, when Samuel, the man of God, came to his father Jesse and said, there's a young man in your family that I want to anoint with the Holy Ghost oil of God. And after he looked at all them boys, he said, you sure this is all you got? And old man Jesse said, I got one more on the backside of the desert, tending for a handful of sheep. And Samuel must have been from the south. He said, fetch him. And they bring that little boy before the man of God. Little David kneels before that old preacher. And that preacher takes out that horn of oil and pours that anointing oil on little David. And that's before he defeated the giant. That's before he defeated the bear. That's before he defeated the lion. That's before he ever pinned down one of the 72 Psalms. In fact, up to this point, he was nothing more than a normal shepherd boy. But after he received the anointing of the oil of God, honey, business picked up in his life. That's when he became the melodious singer. That's when he became the mighty soldier. That's when he became the majestic sovereign. That's when things started happening in his life, because it's more than David. It's more than his family. It's more than his title. It's more than his sling. It's more than his harp. He has been anointed with the oil of God's Holy Ghost presence. And he was never the same after you got under the spout where the oil was running out. And he remembered the oil of God's divine approval upon his life. And it wasn't long till the infusion of courage came. You say, Brother Joe, what has that got to do with us? You encourage yourself in the Lord your God. How, Brother Joe? Look in your past and see the power of God. He's done it before. He can do it again. Look back in your past at the praises and the songs that God is, and the good things that God has let you enjoy, and courage will come. But the greatest thing you can look back on in your life was the place, the day, the hour that God touched you with Holy Ghost anointing oil. And brother, you can't get over the day that God touches you with the oil of His Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Joe, I need encouraging today. Well, I'm telling you. Look at the songs. Look at the strength. Look at the spirit. Look back at what God has done. And as the young people said, God's not finished yet. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There was nobody around him to encourage him. He couldn't get to his harp. He couldn't get to his spear. He couldn't get to his sling. But down on the inside, there was something bigger than him. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When I grew up in the 70s, and don't laugh at me, but I love wrestling. Not now, then. I wish you young people could have seen Wahoo McDaniel, Blackjack Mulligan, Mighty Igor, the Super Destroyer. Man, those guys were awesome. And I used to love to try to put my buddies in the headlock. Somebody asked me one day, said, Brother Joe, you walk around like you're in another world. That's when my buddy Joe Turner suplexed me. You'll get that after a while. That's what's wrong with Julie's hip. I put her in the figure four. Say amen right there. And then power drived her. But I loved all of that. And one year for Christmas, Mom and Daddy brought me a little wrestler. You inflated it and you put air in it. It was a punching bag. And me and that dude went to town. Buddy, I hit him, I elbowed him, I punched him. One day I put him in my bedroom. I got on my bed and I was going to do like that fly dude on TV. And I come across there, caught my head on the ceiling fan right there. That's the only wrestling match I ever lost. But I never could understand something. I couldn't keep him down. Tom, I'd knock it right back in my... I'd hit him, I'd kick him, I even turned him upside down. I couldn't keep him down. I've always had an inquisitive mind. That means I'm nosy. And so one day I thought, oh boy, I'm going to see what's going on. So I went in the kitchen. And I got one of my mama's butcher knives. And like a good Baptist, I stalked him till he wouldn't look him. And I stuck him in the back. And just like a good Baptist, all the hot air went out. And there he was. And I dug around and I found out the secret. Down on the inside of that inflatable wrestler was a sandbag about that big. And I found out why I could slap him, kick him, stomp him, pile drive him, turn him upside down, and he always get my buck up in my face. I found out the secret. He had something big and heavy on the inside. And I want to tell you, when you get slapped by the devil, pile drive by the devil, suplex by the devil, flipped, the sleeper, the claw, the figure four, the figure eight, or brass knucks. And I love it when they brought out the chairs. I just want to tell you something, buddy. You hit a 400-pound man in a pair of pajamas in the head with a chair and he don't fall down, you leave him alone. But I found out something. Boy, in a world that a pile drive you, suplex you, destroy you, I'm glad we get back up again. We stand back up again. We lift our hands up again, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's something on the inside that comes up and says, victory's in Jesus Christ. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Let's stand together all over the building. Father, we love you today.